Good evening. My name is, for those who may not know, Damar Randall, and I am from the Fresno, California congregation. Thank the Lord for the privilege to be with you all again. It's been quite a few years since I've been here to Honduras. I was telling some of the saints back home that earlier this year, the Lord, as he started preparing me for my travels this year, told me to come to Honduras. So I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. I have a thought the Lord put on my heart, and I thought I was going to be blessed. And Brother Doug, when he started to exhort this morning, started to go down a little bit of that line of what the Lord was dealing with me on. And so I thought I might have gotten out of it, but I'm going to give you what the Lord has. I have a habit back home of liking to write on the board the title. So I do apologize. My handwriting has always been quite bad, but written on the board, divine revelation. I've been thinking about there is a problem that we have in the world today. And part of that problem is that people start out running this race and then somewhere along the line they fall by the wayside. It's our desire by the help of the Lord that we not only, as it was mentioned tonight, help point people to the question of what must I do to be saved. That's a very important question. But that question's not important if we don't keep it. Yes. We are living in such a day and time where many people start out this race and then yet they fall by the wayside. Yes. And it is our desire by the help of the Lord to help cheer people up to where we know what we need in order to continue to fight, to continue to run, to continue on the way that the Lord has for each and every one of us. The Lord, in dealing with this, gave me the title of a divine revelation. And I'm going to tell a brief story about 2 years ago. We're at the Monarch meeting, and Sister Kaylee Wall came to me and said, some of the young people are going to get together, and we're going to start praying. There had been quite a few young people that were in our young people's group there in the States that had gone off into other things, whether it been other Christian movements or whether it had just been they've departed from the faith altogether. So a group of young people were meeting there at the Tabernacle in Monarch, and we were praying for some of the ones that we used to sing with. And while we were down praying, I remembered a young people's picture that we had taken there at the new Tabernacle in Monarch back in 2017. And so while we were down there praying, I pulled out that picture and I started to count. There were approximately 80 young people in that picture at that time. And at that time, I counted those who I had known had gone off into some other things and gone off into some other ways. And I counted about 30 people. And I thought, here it was, we're in 2023, I believe it was, or 2022, one of those. And just a few short years, some of the people that I had once stood behind the pulpit at Monarch, stood behind the pulpit with at the Guthrie Chapel singing specials with, some of the young people that I had sat in young people's meeting with, some of the young people that I sat in Sunday school and heard testify, so many of them had gone off into some other things. And I thought, Lord, what is it going to take for each and every one of us that are still living saved? What is it going to take for us to continue to press on this way? What is it going to take that we for us to not lose that which the Lord has given? And the Lord spoke to me and said, each and every one of you need a divine revelation as to who I am. Amen. You know, I have been walking with the Lord for a minute now, and my great-grandmother, we were talking about it earlier, my great-grandmother is who helped lead me this way. But you know what? It's not going to be on her merits or upon her understanding of who Jesus is that is going to help me get to heaven. Yes. It is not on the understanding of the preacher that is going to help us to get to heaven. It is not on the understanding of the Sunday school teacher, the song leader, whomever you would like to insert there. It is not upon them to get us to heaven. Each and every one of us is going to need a divine revelation for ourselves as to who God is. May the Lord help us as we're endeavoring. The word divine means of, from, or like God. The word revelation, an act of revealing or communicating divine truth. We need this today. It's so imperative in the day and time that we're living in. The scripture teaches that as sin abounds, the love of many is going to do what? It's going to wax cold. Lord, help us that each and every one of us, if you are living saved, that you don't fall by the wayside. Those that are not living saved, as it was mentioned, we want that wonderful question, what must I do to be saved? Yes. What must I do to keep it? Yes. A divine revelation. We'll turn over to Matthew, the 16th chapter. You pray for me. Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to read verses 13 through 16. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." We'll continue. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." To touch on that verse real briefly, you know, many people in many different religious groups believe that the Lord is saying that upon Peter, "I'm going to build this rock." That is not what he's saying here. He is saying upon the truth that you just said, Peter, that I am the Son of God. That is what I'm going to build this rock upon. And that is the only thing that is going to help us in the day and time that we are in. So considering this, we see here the question was asked. Whom do men say that I am? These disciples had been walking with Jesus for some time. They had seen and had heard about the goodness of Jesus Christ. You look in the scriptures prior to this happening, there in the first chapter, you see where he's born of a virgin. They're familiar with that. They knew that. They heard the messages and the doctrines in which the Lord taught. They knew it. They walked with him. They saw the healing power of God. They saw the blind receive sight. They saw the dead raised. They saw all these things that were going on. They saw a woman with an issue of blood healed. But even after all of these things, after having walked with him for some time, the Lord still turned and asked him a question. "Whom do men say that I am?" And they answered. But then he asked a more important question. Yes. "I understand who they think I am. I understand who Brother DeMar thinks I am, or who Sister Judy thinks I am, or Brother whoever you want to insert. I understand who they say that I am. But who do you say that I am? Who am I to you? Am I just one of those other prophets? Am I just some other teacher? Who am I to you?" And he answered. And he said, "Thou art the Christ." This is something that I am sure of. I've walked with you. I've seen what you can do. I've seen the work that you've done in the world. I've seen the work that you've done in my life. I can say without the shadow of a doubt that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do we have that revelation of who he is today? Yes. Each and every one of us are going to face different tasks, face different tests, face different trials in our life that is going to raise up that question of whom Jesus is to you. And it is on you individually to be able to say that thou art the Christ. How could he say this? He walked with them. He got close to them. Him. He was familiar with who he was. We heard a wonderful message this morning about the Word of God. The Word of God is important. It's by his Word that we're going to live or die. It's by his Word that we're going to stand or fall. It's by his Word that we are going to be judged. And as it was mentioned this morning, if we are going to stand before an almighty God, we ought to know who he is. And one of the ways in which we get to know whom he is, one of the ways that we have that divine revelation, is reading his holy word, is taking time for prayer. Yes. These are important things. Yes. He asked them, whom do you say that I am? Again, each and every one of us, we're going to be faced with different things. From as a child, we're going to be faced with which direction do I want to go? What's the right direction for my life? Am I going down the path that the Lord is pleased with? You don't believe that we're all going to face it? I'll tell you. I was 18 years old living there in Fresno. And I wanted to get out and I wanted to make money. I didn't want to go to college. So I was in high school and the United States Army came to our high school with sign-up sheets. Enlist in the United States Army, make this much. Then they tell the stories of people buying a Camaro or a Corvette, some sports car, and that it seems that every person that serves in the military ends up with one of those very nice cars. Those that live in the States, or do you agree? Seems like everybody in the military has one of them cars plus debt. And I signed my name on the line. I said, I'm going to go. I purposely did not tell my congregation what I was going to do because I knew what the congregation was going to say. So I signed my name on the line, and then I went to the Monarch meeting, heard a message, and I felt convicted because I knew what the Lord was requiring. And it was not that I joined the armed forces. But then I faced a situation wearing myself with what direction am I going to go? My dad was very happy that I was going this direction, that I was going to be joining the army. My dad is a wonderful man, but unfortunately he is not saved. He was happy. You're going to go out, you're going to make something of yourself. But deep down, I knew that I had a father that wasn't happy with that decision. And I had to come to grips with what was more important. I was laying there in my bed at the dorm there at Monarch, and the Lord gave me a vision of my life and what it was to be. I don't know how to explain the things that I knew that was going on in that vision, but for some way, I knew some of the situations that I found myself in. I'm going to tell you the vision the Lord gave me. I was 40 years old in this vision, 3 times divorced. I don't know how I know that. The Lord gave it to me, though. In the vision, I could smell the stench of cigarette smoke. I was blasted with tattoos. All these different things. I went down a road that I knew the Lord was not going to be pleased with. And I woke up the next morning and I knew that I had to make a decision. I knew that I'm going to have to do something. The Lord came in on the scene. The Lord came in and worked in my life. Needless to say, I did not go to the military because I saw the plan that the Lord had for me. Well, I saw the plan that the enemy of my soul had for me. Yes. If only we could see the plan that Satan has for us.
Yes.
If we choose to go back on the Lord.
Yes.
May the Lord help each and every one of us. That when, as we're going along life's way, as we're faced with various the situations that life brings us, that we have a divine revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And because of that, I can't go this direction. What makes him so important that we have this divine revelation of him? As it's mentioned, the disciples, the apostles, they walked with him. At this point in time, he had not died. But yet there was something about him that drew them to him. You go on further in the book, we all know, comes to one of the most tragic and horrific stories. A man going to a cross for each and every one of us. A man who was willing to die. We have a song in the songbook that says, "The guiltless for the guilty." He wasn't guilty of anything. When he stood in Pilate's hall, he said, "What? I find no fault with this man. Send him on down to Herod because I can't do nothing with him." Gets down to Herod. Can Herod find any fault with him? There's no fault in him. Yet he was willing to die a painful death for each and every one of us. He was willing that his own creation, he was willing to let his own creation grab a hold of him, slap him, beat him, spit on him, and place him on a rugged cross. I've heard it said that that cross was not fine, smooth to where it was smooth. He was willing to do that. He was willing to die for each and every one of us. Pay the ultimate sacrifice that each and every one. Do you have a divine revelation? Do you see who he is? Think about what the apostle said about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, because it's our reasonable service. It just makes sense. We need to have a divine revelation of who he is and what he's done for us. He's done so much, and what he can do for us. We're living in a world where so many people start out. They start running this race. They hear the... We were counting there in my local congregation one day. We were counting the amount of children that come through that chapel when we were all growing up, and counted over 100 kids. And to this day in my local congregation, there are only about 5 of us that are still there in that congregation. What causes us to fall by the wayside? We think about the joys and pleasures of out there. We hear the music, the things that entice us out there. The fun living, the partying, drinking, smoking, all that stuff. People look at that and they think that they're out there having a really, really good time. I have coworkers that love to party, can go get off of work and go take a drink. And then the next morning, a raging headache. Does that sound like enjoyment? Does that sound like something fun? I could tell you, I have sat under the sound of the gospel. I have sat in services where we could be singing hallelujah, glory, glory. Services that were supposed to be where we sang our portion, then we heard the message, but yet the Spirit came down so much and we just sang the whole service through. And then after that, we go, we have fellowship. And then I go home and lay in the bed. And I wake up the next morning and I could remember the good time that I had last night. And I could remember it without the effects of a headache. I could remember it without the effects of regret. I could have a hallelujah time. Does that sound like something better? But yet, so many people fall by the wayside. May the Lord help each and every one of us to get a hold of God for ourselves. That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take for each and every one of us. We heard, I believe it was tonight, that we want to hear those blessed words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter ye into the joys of the Lord." What's it going to take? Do we know who He is? Do we have a relationship with Him? Do we spend time with Him? For those that are married, how would you love it if your spouse never spent any time with you? Never talked to you? Brother Clifton was telling me today he's missing his babies. He has a relationship with them. There's a connection there and he's longing for it. Do we have that with the Lord? When we don't spend the time with the person that was willing to die with us, does it feel like there's something off there? Is there something that's saying you need to take time with me? You need to get to know me better. Need to get me more. My pastor, Brother Paul Phillips, there, and I still call him my pastor, I'm not in that congregation no longer, but he makes the statement often that the more that I serve the Lord, and the more that I read about Him, the more I realize that there's a lot that I don't know. This book, or as it was mentioned, this collection of books, is so full of so many truths that in our little lifetime, we can't grasp it all. But I want to spend the time, because I've had a revelation of who He is, I want to spend as much time as I can trying to get more familiar with Him. Because He was willing to die for me. That's what it's going to take for each and every one of us. I don't want to I want to do my part as a saint of God to help take people to heaven. I want to do my part to spread the gospel truth of to who Jesus is. But I don't just want to loosely give Him to you. I want each and every one of us to develop a deep relationship with Him. Heaven is truly worth it all. And hell is filled with people that wish that they could take your place tonight. There's many people that are sitting down there that are wishing that they could sit here in these seats and testify to the goodness of God. Many people that did not have a revelation of Him. May the Lord help us that if we are living for Him, for us to get in touch with Him. We'll turn over to John, the 6th chapter. Read verses 60 through 69. John 6 and 60. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray Him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, we are all going to face some times in our life where we're going to face some hard sayings. Yes. There in the book, I believe it's Ezekiel, as well as in the book of Revelations, a commandment was given. And that commandment was to eat the whole book. And in that place, he told them that it is going to be bitter, but it's going to turn sweet. You know, as we're endeavoring to live for the Lord, there's going to be some things that he comes along and he taps us and he requires of us. I need you to die here. I need you to give this up here. And there are some that come to that crossroad, and the decision is going to have to be made. Am I going to continue to walk with the Lord, or am I going to give it all up right here? Here we have some people that had walked with the Lord. It says they were his disciples. They heard the sayings that you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. There's going to have to be some things that you're going to have to give up. And they couldn't bear it. They said, I can't do that. Again, people that had walked with him. Yes. You know, Jesus, I believe it was, he said that some of them followed him for what? Just the fish and the loaves. But some didn't have something that rang deeper. And when there was some requirements of them, they said, I can't do that. It's hard. I don't want, my flesh does not want to go that way. My flesh recoiled before the cross, and Satan whispered there, thy gain shall not repay thy loss. His yoke is hard to bear. And then sometimes when we get to that part in the saints, we like to shout, but his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I found it so. I have found it so. I tried that road of sin. It's nothing but darkness, nothing but defeat. Yes. But it came to the place where these disciples were at that crossroad. They said, I can't go that direction. I give it all up. I give up having walked with the Master. I give up having seen the miracles that he performed around them and for them. I give it up. I can't go that direction. And after they had all left, he turns to those that remain. Are you going to go away? The same person had the same statement to make. Simon Peter. Let's see, where is that verse at? Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Do we realize that today? Yes. That he is the one that has the power for each and every one of us to make it to heaven. Yes. He opened, Jesus Christ the Lord opened up the way to glory for each and every one of us. Amen. And yet, he asked him the question, are you going to go away as well? He said, thou hast the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? We sat under some other teachers. We sat under those that taught us the law. The law had its proper place in their lives. But now we're entering a new dispensation. We're entering a new time. We're entering a time where your words are spirit and they are life. It's something more. Never have I heard a man speak like that. Where shall we go? Peter declares again, I've had a divine revelation as to who you are. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And no matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, I am going to go this direction. Because thou art the Christ. Do we have that? Do we have that? That's what each and every one of us are going to need. If we are going to endeavor to stand before Almighty God, you could start this way. Brother Larry Abbott, I don't know if he ever came here. Oh, he did. Okay. Brother Larry Abbott, for some of you that may have heard him preach, Brother Larry could preach a real good hellfire message. Brother Carl Schaefer as well. They could preach and they could make it feel like it's starting to get a little hot up in here. But you know, that's not all we need. They would tell you that. There's more. We need a revelation of God. If we start in this way just because I'm scared to go to hell, we'll fall. If we start in this way just because I love grandma and she thinks that I should go this way, we're going to fall. If we start in this way because there's a person in the congregation that I want to get to know better and want to take to be my companion, my husband or my wife, so I'm going to get saved to impress them. Guess what's going to happen eventually? If that's your only driving force, you're going to fall. But there is one surefire way to keep each and every one of us hot, burning with the fire from heaven, and that is a divine revelation as to who he is. May the Lord help each and every one of us that just like the Apostle Peter, just like those that walked with him, just like some of you that are here today, just like our relatives that may have gone on to be with the Lord, each and every person had to come to a place where they had a divine revelation. I have a knowledge of him. I've walked with him. I've seen the power that he has. I've seen what he could do in my life. I've seen how he could take a person out of the miry pits of hell, out of the miry pits of clay, and set them on a solid foundation and keep it moving on. The Lord has that power. I don't know anybody else that has that power. He is the only one that could save us from that. May the Lord help each and every one of us. Romans in the 8th chapter. This needs to be our determination. Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded, I'm convinced, I'm convicted. There's not a shadow of a doubt in my mind. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing. Nothing can come between us. This is the words of the Apostle Paul, a man who had flesh and blood, a man who faced some very troublesome situations. You read there, he also talks about twice shipwrecked, beaten, flogged, all the different things that he went through as he endeavored to live for the Lord and spread the gospel. And yet he still came to that place where he said, I'm persuaded. I'm sure of it. I know him for myself. I was walking down that road to Damascus, and I heard the voice from heaven tell me who he is. Do each and every one of us have that revelation? That's what it's going to take. That's what we each need. I'm persuaded. How persuaded are we? In closing, I want to read a story about a song. Some of us know this story. It's a song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It says about 150 years ago, there was a great revival in Wales. As a result of this, many missionaries came to Northeast India to spread the gospel. The region known as Assam was comprised of hundreds of tribes who were primitive and aggressive headhunters. Into these hostile and aggressive communities came a group of missionaries from an American Baptist mission, spreading the message of love, peace, and hope in Jesus Christ. Naturally, they were not welcome. One missionary succeeded in converting a man, his wife, and two children. This man's faith proved contagious, and many villagers began to accept Christianity. Angry, the village chief summoned all the villagers. He then called the family who had first converted to renounce their faith in public or face execution. Moved by the Holy Spirit, the man said, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Enraged at the refusal of the man, the chief ordered the archers to arrow down the two children. As both boys lay twitching on the floor, the chief asked, "Will you deny your faith? You have lost both your children. You will lose your wife too." But the man replied, "Though none go with me, still I will follow." The chief was beside himself with fury and ordered his wife to be arrowed down. In a moment, she joined her two children in death. Now he asked for the last time, "I will give you one more opportunity to deny your faith and live." In the face of death, the man said the final memorable lines, "The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back." He was shot dead like the rest of his family, but with their deaths, a miracle took place. The chief who had ordered the killing was moved by the faith of the man, and he wondered, why should this man, his wife, and two children die for a man who lived in a faraway land on another continent some 2,000 years ago? There must be some remarkable power behind the family's faith, and I too want to taste that faith. In a spontaneous confession of faith, he declared, "I too belong to Christ, Jesus Christ." When the crowd heard them, they all accepted the Lord, is the story that goes. What caused this man to be willing to die? To be willing to put his entire family's life on this line. He had a revelation. And he said, "I'm persuaded that neither death, the fear of death, or life is going to keep me from serving him." He's done so much for each and every one of us. The Lord is such a faithful caretaker of each of us. And we have to be persuaded. That's what it's going to take. May the Lord help each and every one of us. If you are not saved, may the Lord help that you would get a vision, a divine revelation from heaven as to who God is. And if you are saved, may the Lord continuously renew that vision of who He is in your life. Each and every one of us should have a desire, a goal, and an aim. And that goal, desire, and aim should be heaven at any cost. Yes. May the Lord bless each and every one of us.